I'm delighted now to welcome to the show eminent musicians Dave Anderson and Bert Dalton. Dave, they're laughing.
You got us on that one.
At the eminent, but they are. Dave Anderson is a woodwind player, and he's a teacher. He's a KSFR DJ from time to time. Bert Dalton is a piano player and music director of the National Dance Institute. And they are doing a wonderful event that's coming up this Sunday, February 24th at 4 o'clock. It's called Time Out for Brubeck, a tribute to the music of the Dave Brubeck Quartet at the Scottish Rite Masonic Center, featuring the two of you and a bunch of other musicians as well. Welcome, gentlemen, eminent gentlemen, to the Radio
Thank
Cafe.
Thank you so very
Thank
much.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
So Dave Brubeck lived a long and beautiful and productive life. He died last December at the age of 92 minus one day.
Isn't that incredible? And so well loved, so well liked. He's one of those jazz musicians that, I mean, we just say everybody digs Brubeck.
Yeah.
I mean, for many, many years, his group, the Time Out recording they released in 1959, was the first jazz recording to sell a million copies.
Yeah.
The State Department sent his group to foreign countries to make friends for the United States. They were diplomats for the State Department. They just had such an incredible run. This quartet was together from 1951 to 1967. They released over 50 recordings, and it's just classic stuff. But not only that, this is relevant music. It's cool music. Everybody knows about Take Five. A lot of people know about Blue Rondo. But just the depth of the music the quartet played, most of the compositions were Brubeck's. Desmond contributed some gems, including Take Five. It was just so different and something that everyone was attracted to. They were jazz stars.
One of the things that I love about that whole State Department ambassador piece is that they learned when they were traveling to all these different countries different time signatures that affected
exactly.
the music we know and love.
Exactly. These guys were musical sponges. Wherever they went, they would absorb from the culture that they were in and incorporate it. I remember 150 years ago when I was in college, I think the first Brubeck album I had was called Bravo Brubeck, which was when they were on tour in Mexico in 1967. And they took Mexican folk songs and played them with the quartet. They added a percussionist, and it was just wonderful. I mean, it was true to the source of the music, but done in a very interpretive jazz way. Blue Rondo a la Turk, his famous composition, is based on a Turkish dance rhythm. And we're gonna talk about this at the concert, too. I call it Brubeck Decoded, because we really want to excite the audience and involve them in you know what these guys were doing. It's more than just playing wacky time signatures. There's a reason for it, and there's a real beauty in the mathematics too of the rhythms.
And you can decode that for us?
Well, we're going to talk about it. Let's put it this way. We're going to tell the audience how we're counting, and hopefully they'll can count along with us.
Right. I know. I used to go listen, when I lived in Boston, I used to go listen to Balkan music, and under the table I was like clapping and trying to figure out where the one was when it came back around.
And you know, it's funny, in other cultures that's just such, it's just, they grow up with it, they dance with it, they feel those rhythms. And you know, I saw an interview that Brubeck did early on, and he said, you know, jazz has come a long way, he said, since its inception, harmonically and melodically. I mean, this was around the time of Charlie Parker, so there were all sorts of melodic explorations, and Bill Evans was playing some really cool chords on the piano that we hadn't heard before. But everything was still in 4-4 and occasionally 3-4. And Dave Brubeck was a real why not guy. You know, let's try this. And the success of this quartet was not only did they play in weird time signatures to our ears, but they made it swing. They made it feel natural. Those guys were dancing and playing within those time signatures and just made it sound easy, and Dave and I have discovered that it's not that easy.
No, but you know that within the Dave Brubeck Quartet, there was an element of fun when the guys were playing. And they made it sound, as Bert said, very playful, and I think the audience gets into that as well when they hear the music, because the tunes are recognizable. There are things, they're just fun to listen to, and probably fun to watch being played with some of these odd time signatures.
Right, and one can't help but feel like I mean, I didn't know him, but Dave Brubeck must have just been a marvelous human being to be around, too.
You know, I wish I would have known this guy as a friend the more I learn about him. He met his wife in college on a date. Dave's mother made him go to a dance. He didn't want to go to a dance, but he said, all right, Mom, I'll go. And he asked his friends, he said, well, if I have to go to the dance, I want to talk to the smartest girl there. And they introduced him to Iola. They didn't dance. They sat and they talked for 3 hours. And at the end of the 3 hours, they decided they would get married. And they had a marriage that lasted 70 years.
Good heavens.
Yeah. Is that incredible?
That's the way to do it. Go for the brains.
Yeah. Go for the brains. They had 6 sons, most of whom are musicians in their own right, Chris and Darius and Dave Jr.
And Matt.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And in fact, they performed with Dave later on. He raised his family. He and Desmond were complete opposites. After the gig...
Now, tell us who Desmond is.
Okay, Paul Desmond, who was the saxophone player, who Dave Anderson is playing his parts in our quartet, and quite eminently, I might add.
Thank you.
but your eminences.
It was funny. These two guys kind of lived vicariously through each other. Dave would, after the gig, he would go straight home to his family and... you know, do his work. I mean, he just all he wanted to do was raise his family, do his work. Desmond, on the other hand, had a taste for the scotch, and he was a heavy smoker and an eye for the ladies. And it was funny how the two of them got together, being such different personalities. But then one of Brubeck's talents was taking disparate elements and putting them together in a way that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. So you've got 4 completely different individuals in the quartet. I mean, you've got fire, water, air, and earth coming together to create this music in a really remarkable way.
And so the Dave Brubeck Quartet was like the quartet that you're going to play the tribute this coming Sunday,
exactly.
Piano, drums, bass, and saxophone.
Yes.
That's what we're going to feature. I mean, Brubeck, he had a marvelous career. We're just focusing on one period. I mean, he wrote... he was a very religious and spiritual man. He wrote a lot of religious music. He wrote orchestral works for choir. Paul Desmond went on, I remember his incredible CTI recordings from the 60s and 70s with Don Sebesky arranging as a solo voice. So they all had musical careers beyond the quartet.
But it's interesting, you know, Paul Desmond always had a real... sense of loyalty to Dave Brubeck. So when he would go and perform or record aside from the quartet, he would use a guitar player, which was most often Jim Hall.
Oh, that's so interesting. And he wouldn't, nobody else may play the piano if it's not Dave Brubeck.
I don't think I've ever, and I've heard a lot of Paul Desmond, I don't think I've ever heard another piano player behind him. It's usually the guitarist, Jim Hall. Or maybe somebody playing some synthesizers.
Right.
You know, for a background.
You know,
sound.
That's true. I never thought of that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Would you like to play a Dave Brubeck tune?
Very much so.
Are you allowed to say tune?
Sure.
That's what
track?
I say all the time.
All right.
They're tunes.
What are you going to play?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to inflict a little Dave Brubeck music here in the radio
in
cafe.
In the Santa Fe Baking Company. We love it.
We're going to do a little version of one of his compositions called It's a Raggy Waltz. And the title comes from the fact that it's somewhere between ragtime and a waltz. It's essentially in 3-4, but he goes through little episodes at the beginning of the melody where it sounds like it's in 2 for a little while, and then it goes into 3. And it really sort of illustrates the very playful rhythmic games that the quartet was doing. So anyway, here's half of our quartet. And,
okay.
Thank you.
Anderson and Bert Dalton playing music of Dave Brubeck, the Dave Brubeck Quartet. Now, when you play music by these people who have had to have been your superheroes since the time you were young musicians,
oh, yes,
no?
Sure.
How do you do it? Do you try to imitate? Do you make it your own?
I think we have to make it our own because, you know, as jazz musicians, you have to be an individual. You have to express yourself. We're not trying to do record copies of these tunes. In fact, when you listen to the Brubeck Quartet playing this music, each time it's completely different. There's all sorts of experimenting and taking chances and discovery going on. And, you know, we talked about this a lot when we approached this music, and our consensus was we're going to pay homage to the compositions, to the arrangements, to the spirit of it. But the only way we can pull this off is to be ourselves and to be playful and interplay within the four of us. We're honoring those who have gone before us, but this is here and now. But the other thing is, this music is best heard live.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, because we don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. You know, there's going to be...
that's exactly right.
There's going to be some high-stakes rhythmic games going on there, so we don't know exactly what it's going to be like. And that's what jazz is all about. It's very much an in-the-moment kind of music. So we're not trying to create a dusty museum piece here. We're playing music that is relevant today and music that should be heard. Everybody knows, you know, Take Five and Blue Rondo, but... You know, these other tunes are really well worth hearing live and exploring and getting inside to really appreciate, you know, the genius of these artists.
Let's talk for a moment about the life of Dave Brubeck. I mean, he was the son of a cattle rancher in California.
Absolutely.
And he didn't read music for the longest time, if ever. I don't know if he ever learned to read music.
I'm not clear if he did later on, but we do know that he wanted to go into veterinary medicine. Music was just a lark for him because he was, you know, he admired his father and he loved the ranch. He loved roping and riding. So he was going to be a veterinarian. But his veterinary teacher said, you know, you're spending way too much time over in the music department. Why don't you just go over there and major in music? Which he did.
A very wise teacher.
It was good advice for Dave Brubeck. Right before... he was ready to graduate, it came to the attention of the dean of the college that he could not read music, and we believe this was a learning disability, probably dyslexia, which is, curiously enough, is the main charitable work of the Scottish Rite. You know, we're doing this work at the temple. So the dean called him in and said, okay, we've made a decision. We will let you graduate from college on one condition, that you never teach piano because we do not want you to embarrass the college.
And he said, all right.
He said, okay.
I'll be a famous musician.
Well, that wasn't what he had in mind. Actually, it was 1942, and he did what most other young men of his age were doing, which was, you know, enlisting in the conflict that we were in. He joined an army band in the Bay Area, which was actually where he and Paul Desmond met. But Brubeck's unit was sent to Europe. He was serving under General Patton, and his unit was one day... from being sent into the Battle of the Bulge.
Good heavens.
When a USO show came through, and this sounds like a Hollywood story, they needed a piano player, and they said, hey, can anybody come up here and play this show? And Dave raised his hand, and he so impressed the colonel that the colonel held him back and said, okay, your job is to put together an army band. So Dave put together the first integrated band in the army. It was called the Wolfpack.
Of course, my goodness.
This is in 1944 at this point, so that obviously ruffled a few feathers, but that was how he was. You know, Dave didn't see any differences. He just saw musicians, and he said, this is what my band is going to be.
And also, he knew where jazz came from.
He did, absolutely. After the war, he went back to college, was studying under Darius Milhaud, who was a famous French composer. There's an interesting story. He had exactly two lessons with the great 20th century composer Arnold Schoenberg. The first lesson, Schoenberg went over some materials with him. They talked, and Schoenberg gave him an assignment to write something and bring it back. Brubeck brought it back to the second lesson, sat down at the piano, and began to play. And at the end of the first measure, Schoenberg stopped him. He said, wait a minute. He said, "Why did you choose that second note?" And Brubeck said, because it sounded right. And Schoenberg said, well, that's not reason enough. And Brubeck challenged him. He says, and what makes you the authority on what note sounds right? So obviously their teacher-student relationship didn't last any longer than that session.
Ah.
But you have
to the great benefit of the rest of us.
You have to admire a guy who will stand up to an authority and say, no, I made this decision for a reason. I'm going to stand by it.
Very interesting. Now, Dave Anderson, tell us about your experience. I mean, you're a saxophone player, you're a woodwind player, of hearing Dave Brubeck when you were young.
Yeah, you know, I was, this dates me, but I started hearing Dave Brubeck and Paul Desmond, who caught my ear when I was in high school. And, you know, one of the things I think that all musicians do is as we're coming up, we find somebody that we really like and admire, especially sound-wise, and you use that as a model. And when you're just learning, you need some kind of a model to follow so you know what you want to sound like. And then as Bert said later on, you know, your own personality comes into it. You start to do things your own way, but still in the back of your mind, that sound is there. And so...
I think you've really incorporated that sound just in your own natural style of playing so well. I mean, you can hear that Desmond influence in there, that beautiful tone and
yeah.
His sense of melodic.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I've played this way all my life, and so this is
not
finally,
yet.
Finally the op. I mean,
as George Herring would say, well, not yet.
Thank you for that too. Yeah. It's great to have this opportunity to finally get to perform some of this music in the style that I would most like to play.
Yeah, the upcoming concert, for those of you who are just tuning in, is called Time Out for Brubeck. It's on Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Scottish Rite Masonic Center here in Santa Fe, and it's a tribute to the music of the Dave Brubeck Quartet. And I want to make sure we have time before we go for another song. Do you have anything else you want to play?
We do, and I just want to mention real quickly before we play again that this is a fundraiser for the Scottish Rite Masonic Center. We have such a gorgeous auditorium over there. This building is a century old. It was completed in 1912. We just had our centennial celebration. It's very much tied into the history of Santa Fe and New Mexico. It is really a community treasure. For many years, you know, the Masons are pretty good with secrets, so there was a long time there where, you know, guests weren't coming into the building. But in recent years, we've really opened it up. We've had performances of Santa Fe Opera, Santa Fe Concert Association, New Mexico School for the Arts, National Dance Institute, New Mexico Children's Foundation.
Et cetera.
I got a whole long list here, which I'll cut short. And the Scottish Rite has really made this facility available for the community as actually an arts center. But now we need some help. It takes a lot of money just to keep the doors open over there. The next 100 years are not as certain for the Scottish Rite as the last 100. So we have events like this to bring people in to enjoy this facility, to raise funds, to keep the doors open so we can continue doing this work.
Excellent. Good. Well, that's very good to know, and it's such a wonderful space, and it's such a cool building.
It's just beautiful.
Kind of pinkish-orange salmon-colored
right.
building.
The sound is so good.
Yeah.
For us as performers and for the audience. It's just a great, great space.
Well, what are you going to play now?
We're going to do, this is actually one of Paul Desmond's compositions called 11-4, which alludes to the time signature. And just to help the listeners out a little bit, we're counting this a group of three, a group of two, and then two groups of three. So we're counting 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So
it's a waltz with one beat miss.
Yeah,
that's right.
A waltz
yes.
by a guy with a stone in his shoe, I think. But what's cool about it, and check out how flowing the melody is, and it couldn't be in any other time signature than 11. Anyway, Dave does a great job on this. We hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
And once again, Burt Dalton and Dave Anderson playing music of the Dave Brubeck Quartet. And the tribute is this Sunday, the 24th of February at 4 o'clock at the Scottish Rite Masonic Center. Now, we haven't talked about the other musicians who are going to be there. Milo Jaramillo on bass and John Bartlett on drums. Wonderful musicians who we've seen play around here for years.
Our trio has played together for about 10 years, so it's good having a tight rhythm section. We can lean on these guys.
Right.
I would just like to mention that tickets are, it's by general admission at the door. For a modest donation, and if folks are interested in doing a little more, it's greatly appreciated. We do have a special VIP package, which is preferred seating. There's a reception following, and if you're interested in that, please call 982-4414 to reserve your VIP spot.
Well, it's wonderful having both of your eminences on the air, Burt Dalton and Dave Anderson. Terrific musicians, and we're so looking forward to this event on Sunday.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Mary Charlotte.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte.
We appreciate this opportunity.
And let's go out with a little more Dave Brubeck.